Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire rest of season 15 is proudly sponsored in part by Pregnant Together, a virtual community for queer folks, solo parents, and anyone who's ever felt different through the process of growing your family. Run by queer midwife Maria Goodman, the community offers tons of resources for every stage of family building, from trying to conceive to parenting, monthly live support groups, access to advice from a queer health care provider, and best of all, connection with a community of folks going through the same ups and downs that you are. Listeners of the Queer Family Podcast get their first month free, y'all. So click the link in our show notes to get your free month and to get started now. To learn more, just check out pregnanttogether.com. Enjoy.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
So that night we had that conversation. The next day we went out to dinner and we get a call and said,
Oh my God. This was
the call. Baby has been born. If you are willing, kind of this is the, if you are willing, you are the adoptive family of choice by the birth mom. You must be here tomorrow to receive baby because baby's being discharged. Oh yeah.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay, as we like to say. My name is Jamie. I am your queer host. And you, my friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is and always has been to uplift, highlight, celebrate, and normalize our LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities. And this show does not disappoint on that front, as you might imagine. I had the awesome pleasure of sitting down with Tom Tracy. Tom Tracy is a gay dad of two through adoption and author of the Scoochie and Skittles book series. He wanted to see his kids and other families like his in the things they were consuming. And so he created it. He wrote a book and then he wrote another. And now he's got a bunch of them. He's on a mission to normalize families like ours, very much like this little show. And so when he reached out, I was like, hell yeah, come on in. We had a great convo. I learned a new term that is used in the adoption community. It is called a stork drop baby. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. You might have gotten a hint of it in the little beginning clip you heard, but yeah, I'm not telling you. You have to listen to his interview to find out. But before I roll that tape, I want to talk a little bit on the topic of normalization, right? Because I talk all the time about how important it is for us to normalize our families. And when it comes to our queer families, those who've adopted as well as those who've used donors. I mean, like even families that are blended families, you know, come to think of it. But let's just say all of our outside of the box families, so to speak, for lack of a better term. When it comes to the idea of normalization for our types of families, it is necessary to talk a lot about to our children about how our families came to be, how our children came to us. Because usually, you know, like there were helpers along the way in creating our babies or bringing them to us. And our origin stories are really super, super important to us. And I always talk about the drop the seed theory that I first heard about it from Lisa the Therapist, one of my favorites. It's actually, there's a whole thing from Lisa the Therapist in my book. Yeah, a little plug for my book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, that I wrote with my previous co-host, Robin Hopkins. You can get that anywhere you want to get the book, available everywhere. The drop the seed theory basically is you start talking about the children's origin story, like from the moment they can listen, which is like day one, right? You read books, you're just always talking about how they came to be. And the idea is you drop seeds, and when the children are ready to take in the knowledge, they pick up that seed and they take it in and they ask questions, right? So you just, but you're constantly, the conversation is ongoing. I've been talking with my kids about it since day one. I have a shelf full of books that explain donor conception and what a donor is. And, you know, they know it takes sperm and an egg to make a baby and, you know, the rest. But the conversation is ongoing. Anyway, so I posted a video recently on social media of me reading one of our new favorite books about donors to my six-year-old in at bedtime. And like randomly, he actually like participated in the book reading and he said some interesting things. And that's why I posted the video. And at the end of the video, he like broke baby making down for me. It's really cute. He also like said some interesting things in the middle of the book about using his sperm to make thousands of babies one day. And like, that's for another conversation. But like I said, the conversation is ongoing. Anyways, so, you know, he broke down this little thing. It's a really sweet moment. And I was like so touched by what he said. He said, you know, I know it takes if you have two moms, you need a donor. And if you have two dads, you need a donor. And if you have a mommy and a daddy, you don't need a donor. But you do need a little bit of science and a whole lot of love, something like that, like in a nutshell. And I was just so touched that, you know, I just, oh, my God. Yes, right, right. And then I posted it. And then, as you might imagine, I got a DM. I got a conversation going in a DM where somebody reached out and said, you know, some mommy and daddies do need a donor. And I wrote back right away because as I listened to, even like when I watched the video, I was like, it's not completely true. And that's something I need to add to the conversation for the next time it comes up, you know, like it's already in my brain. I wrote back right away. Yes, you are so right. Some mom and dads do need a donor. And that's something that I do plan to add in the future, you know, very transparent, very honest. And then we started this whole conversation and this person was asking me, you know, well, how do you find the conversations going? And, you know, we were talking about the conversations and this person said, you know, there's been a lot of questions lately with my six-year-old and I'm having some difficulties. I'm not sure how to handle it. And then I remembered, you know what I did when my daughter was little and my daughter was asking a lot of questions. And this came from a guest I had way back in season one, y'all. This is like episode 3, season 1. It was Emma Tattenbaum Fine. She's a donor conceived person of two moms. And she had told me that when she was asking questions when she was little, her mom sat her down and she was like, well, what does he look like? And her mom sat her down and said, well, I don't know what he looks like, but let's draw a picture. And Emma said, you know, what was interesting for that was it really doesn't matter what he actually looked like. It mattered what I thought he looked like. And she said, once we drew this picture together, that was put away and I was fine for a really long time. And I thought, interesting. And then my daughter started asking questions about around this time. So I said to her, well, why don't we draw a picture of him? And so we did. We sat down and we drew a picture of the donor. And so I told this person about this and the person was like, oh, this is great. Thank you so much for this resource. And so I thought I'd share it with all of you too, because I do think it's a really great thing. And you know what? I'm gonna bring my daughter in to talk about it for a second. So hold please, because I have the picture and I have to see if it's okay that we share the picture with you on this little video. So hold please, hold. So Rose, I was talking about how when you were little and you were asking questions about the donor, we were like, oh, well, let's draw a picture of him because we don't know exactly what he looks like. We have like parameters of what he looks like, right? Do you remember when we drew the picture of the donor?
Not that much. I mean, I remember hanging it on the fridge.
You remember hanging? It's been on the fridge for ever since we drew that picture. So interesting. So you don't remember drawing it?
No, not really.
Okay. What do you think about the fact that you have a donor? Any thoughts?
No.
Okay. Are you okay with the fact that you have a donor?
Yeah.
Is this awkward to talk about right now?
I don't know.
Okay, this is going smashingly.
My mom's slay.
Why do your moms slay?
Because I do.
Can you expand on that in any way, my 10-year-old daughter who's so loquacious with her words?
My mom slay because I have two moms.
Okay, what's cool about that?
Because I have two moms and it's different than other people in my school.
That's a good thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Has it ever been like awkward or uncomfortable?
No, nobody ever really brings it up.
Okay, great. So this has been a really wonderful conversation with a donor conceived kiddo who really could care less about it whatsoever. So I don't know why we have all this podcast about all this stuff. But can I show the picture of the donor? Do you remember what we named him?
Jacob.
Jacob. Look at Jacob. That's Jacob. Our donor, what we think he looks like. Rose put a rainbow shirt on him, you know, in true pride fashion.
It's really just like the scratch and smell thing, though.
Right. It's a scratch and smell thingy.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add about the picture you drew of Jacob that if you're watching the video, you can see?
I don't know why I thought he had such a pointy nose.
I don't know either. It's interesting because we actually have learned more about him and we did get an adult picture of him, right?
He looks like Orion, kind of.
He does. He looks like Orion, kind of. He kind of looks like you, but also he kind of looks like this picture you drew. Right? He does.
Kind of. Except he doesn't have that pointy of a nose. It's not a sword.
Right. He doesn't have a sword nose, but it's pretty accurate. I'm pretty we're going to have to keep this forever. Anyway, so that's a fun idea to do with your kiddo. And then you can laugh about it later on in life like we do. All right. Thanks, Rose, for your time. So anyway, that's my little thing in the name of normalization and all the things. So try that out. Who knows? I want to roll the tape because I have yammered on way too long for all y'all. This is a wonderful interview, a wonderful story. And now my dog is making noise. Wonderful story. My kids are on school vacation, February break, and I need to get back to them. So Helen, Beulah, Nicole, my lovely assistants, please roll that tape. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Jamie.
I am very excited to have you here with me. I'm excited to hear your whole story because I don't know a lot of it. You seem like you're doing a lot of amazing things out here in this world for LGBTQIA+ folks, and I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, that's us. That's us. It's a pleasure to be here to talk with you and all of your listeners. I can't wait to tell our story.
Without further ado, I say I'm not going to put you on the spot, and then I do. So without further ado, let's just get right into your 30-second elevator pitch. So everybody at home or in their cars or wherever they are can find out from you who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. I'm going to put a little timer up, but don't worry. I will never, ever cut you off. It's all just for fun. Okay. On your mark, get set, go.
Hey, Queer Fam Squad. It's Tom Tracy, your favorite children's author. That's right. I write children's stories that are inspired by my own family, which is a gay family, two dads with two adopted daughters. And we showcase how a gay family actually is a pretty regular family that does pretty regular things as a way to normalize family activity amongst the gay community. So we want everybody to see that we are as boring and as exciting as all the other families that are out there. So I hope that you enjoy this episode and I hope you enjoy my books.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. I love what you said because it aligns. It really does. I don't know if you've listened to many episodes, but it aligns perfectly with the mission of my show, which is to highlight, celebrate, uplift, and normalize LGBTQIA+ families. And if you look in my show description, it says, one of the sentences is to let everybody know that we're just like all the other parents out there trying not to scream at our kids when they still haven't put their shoes on and we are already 25 minutes late for school.
That is our every day, every day.
every day. So we align perfectly. And yes, I agree. It is so important to tell our stories so that we can normalize the crap out of the fact that, yes, we work really hard to make our families and they're very, very intentional. And so there is that distinction. However, seeing a family that has two moms or two dads or a trans parent or whatever is no different than the rest of the families out there. And it's important to highlight that. Correct. Mm-hmm. Which is why we need more children's books.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Can I just jump right into my story?
Yeah. We take it where you want to, and then I'll take you wherever I want to take you to. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I love it. And first of all, I will say that is our everyday. Oh my goodness. The everyday challenges of getting your shoes on, getting your jacket on. We have two daughters. One is 7, one is 2. And we get the 2-year-old's jacket on. We go to help the 7-year-old and the 2-year-old's got her jacket off. And so we got to do it all over again. So it's pretty normal family stuff. Our families are made in unique ways, but we still deal with the same challenges as any other family. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's what really inspired me. So I'll tell you, I always wanted to write ever since I was in high school. I used to write short stories and I used to just like write and think that I was something spectacular. Spoiler alert, I wasn't. I go back and I read them now and I'm like, oh, that's crap. We won't talk about my age, but you know, decades passed. So finally, when we had kids, I found my inspiration because our oldest daughter, you know, her room was filled with books that we were reading to her on a regular basis. And oh my goodness, there were very few books that actually reflected back to her families that looked like hers. Mm-hmm. And so instead of complain or lament about the problem, I decided to do something to fix the problem by adding more books that had families that looked like ours.
I love that. And we need, there are a lot more now there are than there even were when my daughter was born, who is 10. She's my oldest. But there are still not enough. And there are still not enough books that just, you know, randomly happen to have a two-mom family randomly in the mix too. Just like we need that. We need more. We need more and more and more and more. So I appreciate you doing that. And I can't wait to hear more about the books. But before we do that, can we dig into your family building journey?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The listeners at home don't know this, but I met husband. I'm still going to call him husband because husband, Tom's husband, Elliot, sorry, is also a podcaster that I learned because we were having technical difficulties. And then all of a sudden, husband came in with his podcast mic and fixed it all up and made it golden for us. And I love him now. It's Elliot, but I'm going to call him husband for the rest of my life. I want to know where it all began. Take us back.
Happy to. And yes, I love husband too. Yeah, so we've been together for the better part. We're not quite there yet, but the better part of 20 years at this point. We're not that old. We're not that old. You know, we got married, but every year after we got married, we decided, you know, just like regular families, we were feeling the pressure of, oh, you're now married? When is there a family coming? When are you going to start thinking about a family? Are you guys thinking about kids? So we got the same questions, the same pressures, and we decided to not let that actually rule our conversations. So we made a commitment to each other, right? This may sound corny, but as part of every new year, we would dedicate a time in January where we would sit down and we would say, hey, is this the year we think about building our family? Yeah. And for multiple years, the answer was no. And we would honor that answer for an entire year.
Wow.
Then, lo and behold, 2016, we sat down in January and said, is this the year we think about building our family? And the answer changed. So the answer was yes. So at that point, you know, we did what, you know, all families do is start exploring and researching our options to build our family.
I want to stop you here because I love this. And I just want to highlight one point because you said, you know, like we got married and like most couples, we started getting that question, which yes, we are so similar in that respect to the non-queers, right? That is a question that comes to us. However, when it comes time to start that family building journey, this is where we split off a bit from the non-queers because
we've
got a lot of decisions and conversations to have about how we're going to do this.
Yeah, it's an intentional decision. Our families don't happen by accident.
Very, very rarely.
That's true. Fair enough. Yes. So it is a very intentional decision that requires a significant amount of avenues to be pursued and information to be gathered. We explored and researched surrogacy and, you know, a host of different options. So we landed on private domestic adoption. We're a U.S. couple. And so we landed on private domestic adoption.
Okay. Can you go into a little bit, like your reasonings for deciding against surrogacy and going towards adoption, and then also private, you know, like, can you delve in a little more? Because there might be folks listening who are like in this moment right now trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say this in just very like straightforward. I'm not going to try and polish it, right? But we were very excited about the sperm mixing idea, right? And we were like, let's like mix our sperm. We won't know who the dad is. And then it won't be like, oh, you're the dad and you're just the other dad, or right? So we were really, really close to going that direction. And I would say a couple things. A, cost was a factor. It's not cheap in terms of the options. So it's not cheap. We weren't convinced. And now, you know, maybe it was just the level of research that we did, but we were not convinced that protections were on our side in terms of custody, in terms of custody.
Yeah.
So legal made stuff. Us really nervous.
Yeah. Where are you located?
We're in New Jersey, which is a progressive state. It just made us nervous. I don't remember the ins and outs, but just in terms of generally speaking, I'm not saying that the protections weren't in New Jersey, but just generally speaking, it made us really nervous. And there was something that spoke to our heart about a child that was born, but the biological family was unable to care for this child and being available to support a child that came into the world in that way. So I'm a social worker by nature. So I kind of have that piece of me. Maybe it spoke to the social work part of my heart. We had also been fostering for a while. We were hoping that we would do foster to adopt, but that never panned out. So adoption felt like the very next step.
Wait. Back up. How long have you been fostering? I didn't know this. How long have you been fostering?
Yes. We had fostered for maybe a year or so, and we were hoping to do foster to adopt. But all of the children that we got were temporary placements, which was fine. But that's ultimately, we were hoping to do foster to adopt.
Was it hard? I mean, I don't mean fostering, bringing children into your home. I mean, the getting to know the child and possibly like really bonding with the child, and then the child going back to, was that hard on you?
It wasn't on us, because whenever we accepted a placement, we knew that it was, they would call us and say, this is a temporary placement. We'd say, okay, we will accept that child, but we would still like a child that is kind of going the adoption route. So we never fooled ourselves to believe that a child that was coming into our home was actually going to stay forever. But we were hopeful that a child would come through the system into our home that could.
Right. And that just never panned out.
It just didn't pan out. So we said, well, if that's not going to work, then we will go the formal adoption route.
Did both of you always know you wanted to be parents?
Short answer is yes. You know, there's always a longer answer behind the short answer. But the short answer is yes. There is a significant age difference between myself and husband. So we've got a 14-year age difference. I was in a prior relationship, and my partner in that relationship did not want children. So I had resigned myself to the fact that I would never have children. And so when husband came along, I actually had to kind of reset my thinking to open that door up again, because I had already closed it because of that prior relationship.
Interesting. You're not alone in that. I ask this question a lot because oftentimes many of us in this community come to parenting in sort of a roundabout way for various reasons. Like yours is because you were with someone who didn't want children, but also a lot of us just shut that off as soon as we realize that we are LGBTQIA+. And then that's not in the cards for me, right? So that's why I like to ask that question, because we all come to it in different ways, which is interesting in our community.
You are, anyway, right.
Okay, carry on.
We decided to go adoption, and then things happened really quickly, really quickly. We were matched with our oldest daughter's birth mom during her first trimester. She was relatively local, so we got a chance to meet her in person. We met her family in person. We still maintain a relationship with them. So, you know, fast forward, we were in the hospital within, you know, a very short time. after our daughter was born and walked out with her and have never looked back. And in fact, had a second.
Wow.
Did it again.
So no complications. And it happened quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to be careful when I tell our story because our story is almost a little fairy tale like because she was the first birth mom to look at our profile. She didn't want to look at any other families. She picked us. She was a birth mom that was very sensitive to the well-being and health of her unborn baby. So she stopped medications and she stopped other behaviors that could have harmed that the child, knowing that she was ultimately, that we were ultimately going to be this child's parents. So we did have a little bit of a fairy tale match with our first adoption. And that's not always the case, right? So I have to recognize that other families like ours, you know, there's adoption disruption, there's some disappointments. And so that's not always the case. So we are very, very, very fortunate and realize how fortunate we were.
I love that. I love that you recognize that. And I love that you said that. And also, I love that it was easy and that I got to have, you know, a story on the show where it just happened smoothly because it can, right?
Yes, you just don't know. That's it. Yes. So let ours be a story of hope as well. Yes.
Yes. And I love that. So yay, yay, easy journey to parenthood for queer folks. But okay, awesome. So you get your daughter. Everything is beautiful and terrible and hard at the same time, I'm sure.
Of course.
And then how did baby number two come about?
Yeah, so baby number two, that one, you know, it's still a fairly hopeful story. Number two was husband's idea. I was really happy with one. He wanted there to be two. He comes from, a sibling household, as do I, but my brother and I, 10 years difference. So we weren't close in age. So he had to do some convincing. He ultimately did convince me. So I went into that process willingly. And so we started the process again for submitting, you know, our application and our profile. And it's the adoption that almost didn't happen in that we were on a waiting list this time for a solid year and a half. And during that year and a half, no one called us. You can't help but to then ask all kinds of questions about why are we not getting called? And is it because whatever the set of birth parents that are having children during this 18-month period don't want a gay family? Were we silently being rejected? Mm-hmm. And there's no way to know that. So all of the insecurities come rushing in and we had made a decision. This is, I kid you not, this is a truthful story. We were laying in bed one night and husband says to me, I've resigned myself to the fact that this adoption number two is not going to happen. We are not going to get a call. And if it doesn't happen by X day, let's pull the plug on it and just move on with our lives. Because you end up in this period of waiting. And so life kind of like is like, do we move on? What do we do? Is it going to happen? Not happen? You know, do we change that other bedroom into an office or a library? Or do we keep it as a nursery? What the hell do we do with that room? So that night we had that conversation. The next day we went out to dinner and we get a call and said, was the call. Baby has been born. If you are willing, kind of this is the, if you are willing, you are the adoptive family of choice by the birth mom. You must be here tomorrow to receive baby because baby's being discharged. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, so we had just kind of in our mind mentally said no. And then next day the universe said, stop with your nonsense. Here's your baby. And we needed to pack up, make plans for our daughter, make plans for our dogs. All right. And like, go, we live in New Jersey. Oh. We had to drive up to upstate New York. So we drove through the night and we're at the hospital by that morning and welcoming baby number two. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I mean,
that's beautiful, amazing, and holy shit. And also, like,
holy shit. Yes.
Oh, and how old was your daughter at this point? Your older daughter?
Well, there's 4-year age difference. Yeah.
I have the same thing, 4-year age difference. Wow. Okay, so what can you tell me any backstory with why it happened that way? Like, how come you hadn't heard about this, the adoptive mother, I mean, the birth mother ahead of time? And if you were the chosen parents, how come you didn't know that? Like, what's the story?
So I, you know, listen, I have never been pregnant, right? In case anybody was ever wondering, I've never been pregnant, nor will I ever be. But I've heard of this happening before, that birth mom didn't know she was pregnant.
Oh.
And so she went to the urgent care with back pain. The urgent care took one look at her and said, "This is not back pain. You are giving birth." They rushed her to she was 9 centimeters dilated. They rushed her to the hospital. She delivered within the hour of arriving in the hospital. And she was like, she was a pre-med student. She was like, I can't raise a baby. I can't. And so she made a decision within that very short period of time that she can't raise a child. And she was going to pursue the adoption route. And she had to quickly look at families. And so it was a very fast decision on her part. And she selected us.
Holy moly. Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
That is a lot. Wow. Okay. And I didn't know that it could happen that quickly, you know, because there's a lot that has to... It's yes. just interesting. Like, she found the adoption agency, like, from the hospital bed and, like, did all this stuff, like, from the hospital bed. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, hospitals have relationships with adoption agencies so that if that happens, the hospital can make the connection to the adoption agency. Our adoption agency had a relationship with this hospital. And so they had an electronic version of our what they call our profile. So they were able to show her while in the hospital bed, like prospective families. And so it's called, some adoption agencies call it a stork drop, where the stork has dropped a baby and that baby needs parents. That baby needs a family.
Oh,
yeah.
Stork
yeah.
drop.
So we got a stork drop.
Yeah. I was thinking wrecking ball. I'm like, I came in like a wrecking ball. Like, that's what I was thinking.
If you knew my 2-year-old, and my mother has nicknamed her Hurricane, by the way, so very That's interesting. So funny. I came in like a wrecking ball would be a very appropriate song for our 2-year-old.
That is really amazing. That is, holy moly. Okay, so you arrive at the hospital and you have a baby all of a sudden. Out of the blue. Wow.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah. And we had to coordinate, you know, work because, you know, we got a baby. We got to take some time off. Yes, it all happened. It was a wild, wild ride. And in the States, we have this thing called the Interstate Compact, which means if you are adopting a baby or receiving a baby from a different state, you're not allowed to leave that state, right? So we were stuck in New York for 10 days while our other daughter is being cared for by other family in New Jersey. We are stuck in New York in a hotel with the baby for 10 days waiting for the states to clear us to cross state lines.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you had to wait. I'm sure I've heard that's a thing, but I've never. Interesting. Okay, so
yeah, so we got a hotel, literally steps away from the border between New York and New Jersey, so that when we got cleared, we could just like get in the car and go. But we ultimately get cleared, and you know, here we are, 2 years later. We've got siblings that fight, which is great. Who, you know, an older sibling that it's mine. I don't want to share my toys. And a younger sibling that says, it's mine because I'm 2 and they are my toys.
I get it. Mine are 10 and 6 now, but I know all about it and it doesn't end. It does not end. So.
Right. Jamie, you were supposed to be giving me hope now. No, you're supposed to be giving me hope.
The amount of times I say to my 10-year-old, he's six. He doesn't know. Can you just let him hold the little jelly panda stupid thing for a second, please?
Like, oh, do you get fights over squishies? We fight all the time over squishies. It's my squishy. Oh my goodness. Yes.
It's like literally like 2 inches yes. big, and they were fighting over it this morning. Yes, I know. The struggle is real.
Yes, it is.
Still magical, and it's still beautiful. And I'm like so happy that it all worked out so like the way it did for you. And you have these two beautiful children. And then, like you said, like you teased in the beginning, you were reading all these books, noticing yeah. that your children were not seeing families like theirs mirrored back to them. And so can we go into that a little bit and the conception, so to speak, of your books?
I love that, the conception. Yes. As I teased, right? So that just became my inspiration is, hey, you know, don't complain about the problem, do something about the problem. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I decided to tell our family's experiences through story. And I consider the way that we appear, my husband and I appear in the stories, I call it, the stories are incidentally gay. Right. They're just incidentally yeah. gay. Right. This is really a story about a family. And incidentally, the parents are gay. Right. They're two dads. There's two
dudes.
That's
what I love. Yes. We yeah. need more like yeah. that, where it's not the focus that Heather has right. two moms, you know.
Right.
But they just happen to be, this is a kid that happens to have two dads. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's yeah. what we need more of. Exactly. So I love that. I absolutely yeah. love that. And so tell us about the books. Tell us about the first books and then the book and then, you know, how everything else came to be.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, the one that I would highlight, especially for our listeners today, right, is a story that is, well, let me back up and say Scoochie and Skittles is my brand name. So Scoochie is my daughter. Skittles is her cousin. And yeah. so oftentimes the stories are about their adventures, right? And then their family appears in their stories. So the mm-hmm. first book is about a day that they spend at grandma's. It's called Scoochie and Skittles in Fun at Grandma's. And it's mm-hmm. just about imagination and play and how magical grandma's house can be. That, you know, certainly for me, going to my grandmother's house was magical. And I have, you know, at the ripe age of 50 plus, you know, have very fond memories. Oh, yeah. Hey, 50 plus, like 7-year-old and 2-year-old, it can be done.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Yes. It can be done. You can survive it. But that story is just like about that magical experience. But my second story is the one, and it's won like numerous kind of book awards. And that's not self-promotion. That's just pride right now coming through. It's
you. Called Scoochie's Adopt. I literally have my awards behind me on a shelf. You better go ahead that's with right. that. Self-promote away. Come on.
All right.
That's what we do.
Eight distinct book awards. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. But it's called Scoochie's Adoption Story. What I'm most proud about of this story is that in essence, she wrote it for me because there was one day. So we're a family that likes to go camping and true tent camping.
Same.
Yes. Same. Oh, all right. We're coming your way, Jamie. Yes. We're coming to New York next year. Ooh, so we should talk.
Camping together.
Yes.
Oh my God, that would be so fun.
All right. Besties, camping besties. So we were camping one year and there was a little playground area. My daughter was playing in the playground by herself. There was no other kids, sadly, until this one girl biked over and started playing in the playground. And I'm letting them play, moving myself slowly to the background, right? To let children do children things. And I'm listening to this conversation. And the girl is like, well, where's your parents? And she points to my husband and I. And the girl looks and she's like, well, where's your mom? And I was like, oh, how's this going to play? What's going to happen? You know, and the protective dad was like, oh, don't you mess with my daughter. Don't you mess with her. And my daughter mm-hmm. looks at her and was like, I'm adopted. I have two dads. I'm like, yeah, girl. Yeah. Yes, you do. And then she proceeded to tell the story of her adoption, which, you know, she knows because we are very open with her. And so she told mm-hmm. the story of her adoption to this girl. And I basically took that experience and put it into a book and to show like, this is a girl who is proud of how her family was formed, right? It wasn't, you know, something that she was embarrassed to talk about. And the girl biked over to me and she said, is it okay if I ask her? And I said, yes, please ask her. Please ask her.
There's no secrets here. There's no shame.
Yeah, yeah. And it was beautiful. And so yeah. I'm very proud of that book because it really is just lifting her experience and putting it in book form. Oh. It tells our family's adoption story. Yeah.
I absolutely love that. And it's a book for everyone because every child can and should learn about adoption and what it is and how mm-hmm. families come to be in that way, right? So that's beautiful. Yeah. And then there are more books too.
Oh my goodness, there are more. So there are two others. So again, Normal Family Experiences. The third book is called Practice Makes Progress. And Scoochie and Skittles, my daughter and her cousin, were learning how to roller skate. And so it's a story about how nervous they were to do something new and how, you know, with practice, you get better. And then when you get better, you feel better and you feel pride and you find enjoyment in new experiences. And so that book is about overcoming the fear of something new and finding the joy on the other side of that fear.
I love it. That's amazing. Yes. Every kid needs to read that too. I need that for my 6-year-old right now. I mean, I'm going to get all of these books, obviously, because first of all, I love books. Second of all, I am like obsessed with my kids having like the most immense LGBTQ book library in the world. And I'm kind of crazy about it. And my kids, like, well, my 10-year-old is like, oh my God, mom, don't go to that shelf. You always make me read. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I'm going to get them all. And everybody at home needs to get them too. And they will. So tell everybody where they can find your books and all the things where they can find you, all the stuff, so that we can all go out and get these books, add them to our library.
That's very kind. That's very kind of you. Thank you. So you can go whatever you remember most. You can go to www.tomtracybooks.com. That's the easy one. No E in Tracy. Or www.scoochieandskittles.com. And Skittles is unique spelling because I don't want to get in trouble with the candy. So Skittles is SKIDDLES. But yeah, you can find everything. I've got Facebook, Instagram, like, but you can get to all my stuff from my website.
Okay. And that will also those will also be in the show notes. So if you want to find Tom after this, just go check the show notes and hit those links. And also, you can request the books in your local libraries. You can also try to get them in your school libraries at home. And that is always very helpful for authors. Do you independently publish or are you with a publisher?
No, I'm self-published. This way I don't have to change things because a publisher wants me to change it. So it keeps the integrity of the book. Schools have been really local, right? I'm in South Jersey, as I've said, but local schools have been really wonderful about wanting to put them in their library. So I certainly would encourage that. Yeah.
So everybody go do that. I'm going to do it. I volunteer in my kids' library. So I'm going to go do that. I asked if you self-publish only because the struggle is real. We are independent queer creators, right? And trying to maintain the integrity, like you said, and that's not easy. And that comes with less money behind it. So we need all the help we can get out here in these queer streets. So everybody needs to help lift it up. Everybody needs to buy these things and share them with their communities.
The sharing is so important, right? Because I'll tell you, as a independent author, I would say at this point, the authoring is easy. It's the marketing that's hard. That's what you don't get when you have a big publisher behind you, is you don't get the power of marketing. So the sharing of this podcast, sharing of the things that you love that support the queer community, so super powerful, super powerful.
Totally, 100%. So everybody has to do all the things I ask y'all to do for me, you have to do it for Tom now too.
Whoa, raise the roof on that, yes.
I ask my listeners for a lot, but I don't think they hate me for it yet. Can you show, for anybody who's watching the video, can you hold up a book so we can take a look and see it?
This one is Scoochie's adoption story. So there she is. That's my daughter. You can see us incidentally in the back. And then this is the first one that I spoke of, which is Fun at Grandma's. So there are two others, like I said, but these are what they look like.
I love it. Well, congratulations and thanks for being a change maker in the world. You know, we need more folks like you out there doing their part to make a difference. So I feel honored to have had you on.
It's really an honor to be here and to be amongst like-minded individuals, to be with my own community, to, you know, just exude the pride I see in you and all of us, right? Like just showcasing our families and lifting them up and lifting up our voices. So the opportunity to do that is just such a privilege, and I thank you for it.
Oh my God, anytime.
Thank you. I wanted to offer you one other thing because I thought this just happened last night, and I think it's a great way to kind of end our conversation if we're headed in that direction.
Okay, yeah,
ready? What? Ready? So my oldest daughter just got student of the month. So proud dad moment, right? Just got student of the month. Go daughter, right? Yep. So a part of student of the month is they got to fill out the form that's all about me that can hang up in the classroom. So what's your favorite food and all your favorite things? And there's a section that says, list two things that make you special. So I am special because thing number one, she says, I'm in a book, which was just beautiful. Thing number two that makes her special, I have two dads.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
Yes, totally unprompted. I was like, you can put whatever you want there. And she didn't even tell us. She was like covering the page, writing it, and then she pulled it up. And I was like, oh, I almost cried. I was like, oh my God. Yes, so... Yes.
That is so sweet. Cut to my daughter, who has had moments like this in school where she has to write something that makes her special or something that makes her unique. And every single time she puts the most random stuff down, like, I like cats or whatever. And I always say, well, you know, why didn't you put the fact that you have two moms?
Right.
And she's always like, why? Why would I? You know, like, so I'm so glad you get nice, heartwarming things like that.
I'll take a picture and send it to you so you can just kind of like, all right, well, this is what I wish my daughter had put.
I am literally holding out for the day one of my children puts that down. So far, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm so glad it happened for you. This has been such an honor, and I appreciate you, and thank you for joining us. And everybody go out there and get those books.
Thank you, Jamie. Honor has been mine.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.